Welcome back to Tales from the Grind. I'm your host, Erica Harvill, in the studio today on the beginning of Q4, October 1st, going into the last quarter of the year. Gonna recap everything that we have done, been through, said in 2020 so far on Tales from the Grind. Say what's up to the people, Corey.
What's going on, everybody? For my athletes out there, y'all know what it is. Put the foes up. We're in the fourth quarter. It's time to get at it. Some of us started the year down by 20.
Yeah.
Some of us entered fourth quarter. The score is tied. What you going to do, man? And so I'm excited about the fourth quarter.
Yeah. It's funny that you said some of us started with, you know, down by 20. It felt like at one moment everybody was on the same
playing everybody field. Was on the same playing field.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a year of the light.
Yeah.
You know, you were either exposed to new ways of going about business, so you were exposed to your inadequacies as a business person, as an individual, you know, so the light was shining, you know, which side are you on? So now I'm on the side where I can finally put some sunglasses on.
Yeah.
You know, because I can handle the light, you know.
Yeah. I was talking to a business owner yesterday, Will Rashad.
Shout out Distro.
Yeah, to the local Distro.
Yes, sir.
He said something that was so profound. Just talking about being a black business owner in this time of the pandemic, and he was saying like every day three or four black businesses close without a plan to reopen. And
without a plan to reopen.
And that's because not having the money to continue to operate. But he said that, you know, they were able to continue to operate. And he was like, you know, we're not asking for money so that we can continue to operate because we were able to project, measure, and pivot enough to where we not only have value in our product, but we were able to find value in our venue that kept us alive and kept us generating revenue. And he was like, if you're going to invest in a black business, invest in a black business because they can project, measure, and pivot. That was very powerful.
That was spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of focus on the businesses that are doing it, you know, so that we can continue to
Thrive. Yeah, grow for sure. And not only that, you know, my mentor said the best way to practice socialism within the black community is become a capitalist. You know, meaning that you get as much guap as you can, as much capital as you can, so you could possibly pour into other businesses that you might want to see thrive or possibly buy, because you may have the strategy and the capital for it to go on and still bring them on as partners. So when he said that, he said that's why it's important to operate in this free enterprise. Let's stop denouncing capitalism. Let's get this money. Let's do businesses right. So brothers like Will, who's already shown he has no issue pouring into anyone.
Absolutely.
None.
Yes.
So this is the reason why you want to support the local Bistro, you know, Distro, because of brothers like him that will sit down with you, mentor, show you the way, possibly help you fund your next business project.
I mean, he is so, like, I called him yesterday because today I had a photo shoot with the business journal.
Yeah, she in her photo already checking out. Did you hear that name drop with the business journal?
Whatever. I called him
Miss 40 under 40.
It wasn't even for that. Thank you.
No, I'm just calling you that.
I called him and asked him if we could use his venue, right?
Right.
And he said, because you're a black business, he said, automatically, yes. Like, I don't even need to know why.
Why you
like,
need it, right,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he's like, automatically, yes. But then he asked, well, what is it about? And then we started talking. And then he told me all the stuff that he does for the community, all the stuff that he does for black businesses to, you know, make sure that black businesses can continue to thrive, and all the stuff that he wants to do. And I was just so impressed by him. And by the way, he is him and his partner are going to be on the show. And he said something today, because I told him that our guest today had to reschedule because of illnesses.
Wow.
And he said, with your guest canceling today, he said, if had it been any other day, he said, I would have just said yes and I would have showed up. And I was like, wow, Like,
he's a solid guy, man. I remember, being his banker at SunTrust, seeing his brother, with the hazel eyes come in with a real, calm demeanor, personality. And just sitting down talking to him, I was like, I was opening up some business accounts. I was like, where you come from? Yeah. You're an alien. Shout out to Will, man. He's been a solid brother, ever since I helped him open up a couple of business accounts at SunTrust when I was a banker there, a licensed banker there. So I don't expect anything less than excellence from this man. And he's a genuine good dude.
Yeah. I've only met him twice, and I get that every time. So
yeah.
I look forward to his distro doing well and thriving and growing here in Nashville.
For sure.
So let's recap the beginning of Tales from the Grind.
Man, it's so funny. When we came up with the concept, we knew it was needed. Whether people want to admit it or not, we also inspired other people to start podcasts, speaking to entrepreneurs and whatnot. former guests of the shows and things of that nature. But nevertheless, we did some great things here. We wanted the show to be, bigger than it was. We had ideas about social media, how we're going to grow the business, and then her projects got a little bit bigger.
No, he just peeped it.
I wasn't finna turn it on. I was giving you value. Like, she started to grow in her businesses. Investors had different demands. I had to pivot in my businesses, and I had different projects. And so, from this, still doing this show, I'm meeting some of the dopest guests, from my young entrepreneurs who lips is popping, to conversations that we had no idea was gonna go left.
Yeah.
with the child care on, are we talking about we supposed to talk about her show, her what she do for
her business.
Business.
We're talking about daycare.
And we went talking about great people. So this has been fun. I'm waiting for season number 2. Tales from the Grind. I can't wait till some of our projects get finished so we can talk about what we've been doing behind the scenes.
I did talk to someone yesterday. It's a startup called GoTV, so they're a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to also be guests on the show.
Awesome.
But I talked to them about us being content on their streaming platform.
Whoa, that's major. Shout out to Miss 40 on 40.
Stop calling me that.
We'll
My name is Erica Harvell.
Miss Erica Harvell. Thank you.
Yeah.
What up, Mo, man? Appreciate you watching the show.
You are crazy. But, So let's talk about your projects. Let's start with you and your goals. So we know you had weight loss goals this month. This year.
Uh-huh.
The 1,000 men to...
10 missions, 10,000. Man, let me tell you something. That project, it just all got culminated to Onyx Capital Financial Solutions. Where my tagline is, let us protect your families while we finance your dreams.
Mm.
And I just became literally a walking bank.
Wow.
To being able to get your family set up with life insurance, to possibly funding your business up to $5 billion. Right? I have access to $25,000 to $5 billion. I could get anybody, if you got a 680 credit score, I have over 300 lenders I'm connected with. I got some investors hit me over the middle of the week. They want to get 30 properties.
Wow.
So just doing that, from real estate to equipment leasing to folks that's attempting to get into the cannabis industry. I have all lenders. So I've been doing that. So my latest thing is your boy just became a they call it a protege agent.
That's what you are now?
Yeah, because I'm about to get my own farmers insurance agency.
Whoa, building it all?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
that's pretty cool.
Having that, yeah, I just wanted to keep that on the wraps because, you know, your boy background, I had some hurdles I had to jump.
Oh, I saw that post on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's
so
what you were talking about.
So how's that important is, well, you know, I didn't want to really let everything out the bag because I'm working on it, but, you know, I got my trucking and dispatching business going. I just hired my son and his girlfriend to be my dispatchers. We got some trucks. We got all that stuff going. So I got the trucking business, trucking and dispatching business. I got this this big other project. I don't know if she wanted to release it yet, but we in a co-op right now trying to form this trade school.
The tech that you were talking about last week?
Yeah, man. We got five more trades we're bringing in. You know, I just also started a maintenance company.
How are you doing? You got people running it for you?
Everything is under Onyx Capital. I got divisions within Onyx Capital. So in my 4 to 7 year plan, I got certain divisions that I'm working on right now that feeds into it. So having this Farmers, how does Farmers connect to what I'm doing is now as services I'm going to be able to offer truckers.
Wow, okay.
You dig what I'm saying? So I can offer everything on the life insurance side right now. Everything, you know, from, like I said, life insurance to 401ks, you know, my mentor, my advisor, he's a financial advisor. So I do everything, all life insurance, all health insurance, all dental indemnity. I have all that, you know, group insurance, you name it, have it all.
Yeah.
Business funding, when we sit down with the entrepreneurs, have access to it. Teaching you how to build business credit, got that. Restoring personal credit, got that. Like, I'm a literally, when I say I'm a walking institution, I'm a walking institution. So these are the projects, and I got other things I'm working on that it's like when some of my investors look at the business plan, they just scratch their head like, yo, this is going to be the move right here.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. You know, I had years where I jump out there first and talk about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, initially it wasn't done yet, but I knew it was going to get done because I thought the people with me was going to ride out, but realized that they don't really want to ride out. Like, that shit sound good.
Yeah.
So I had to scale back. So that's the reason why I keep saying, I got these projects I'm working on, but no, it's coming to fruition right now.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Out of all the guests that we had on the show, what one thing did... Which guest and what one thing did that guest say to you to motivate you to go ahead and take the steps and put that into place?
Well, I already had stuff moving. It wasn't a particular guest of the show that said something on the show, but having access to Lee Mallette.
Yeah.
When he took me to breakfast... And we sat for like 2.5 hours just listening to him and the things he has going on and how he was able to recorrect my path, tell me where I was seeing certain things wrong, how I was looking at certain individuals wrong, how I need to stay clear, how what I got going is keep it moving. That was a pivotal breakfast for me. That shifted me. Like, that really took me to a different level. I released so much heaviness that I had for how my name was going around in the city, this, that, and the third, because of that breakfast. So just having breakfast with Lee Mallette, man, just really brought, he was like the visine to my vision. My vision was blurred. He cleared it up.
When he was on the show, he dropped a lot of...
Ooh, and then coming to the show, he really... You know, the breakfast was before the show, the guests.
And the town hall.
And yeah. So just having a person like him, having access to a person like him, knowing I could call him, text him any time of the day, and he really will... You know, I tested him out. Man, it was like 11:38 at night. Shot him something. He shot it right back. I said, okay, he's serious.
Yeah.
You know, so Lee Mallette, man, he's been a blessing, you know, to me, and a lot of the things I got going on is because of how he, you know, shifted my perspective. Much gratitude to him.
I think for me, a lot of my perspective shifted when we had Makisha.
I knew you were going to say it.
Because that was one of the most...
that was a dynamic
that
show.
That was a very dynamic show. Mm-hmm. And she said a lot of very powerful stuff that when I left, like I literally went in. Like I had already been, you know, soul searching, trying to figure out like what type of entrepreneur am I? How serious am I? Which meant that I had to like let go of some of the things that I was working on so that I can get really, really focused on my goal of helping small businesses mm-hmm. in Nashville and just paying attention to how small businesses were struggling, how consumers were struggling, trying to figure out which businesses were open. And here I was missing this whole conversation that wasn't happening between the two people, the two consumer groups that it should be happening with.
Right.
I was missing that because I was doing so many other things. And so like after that conversation, I decided to cut a lot of stuff. Even cutting my time on social media, like I cut that. Like I, when I saw my screen time go from like 9 hours a day down to like 4 and 5 hours a day, and then I realized that I was getting my mind was much clearer.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting more things done, and I was thinking more strategically. And because I was able to take that time and
add five more hours to your day,
man, and it allowed me to put my thoughts into you know, to first off to write them down and to put them into a more strategic plan. Then I started working that plan from that way, and that when at doing that, that's what allowed us to actually increase productivity with the team, because then I was able to notice, you know, where people were coming up with saying, oh, I didn't get that done because XYZ. I didn't get this done because, and so I was able to see that when I wasn't seeing it before. So like that was my most pivotal. I can't talk right. That was my most pivotal. I think it's the overbite.
She's capping on herself, yeah. No, hey, I was... I would definitely say she definitely top three.
Yeah.
Definitely top three. I also like Don on the relationship coach.
Yes, the conflict manager.
Conflict manager. I like her.
He was not a relationship
coach. Well, I mean, I was thinking relationship, but you're a conflict. Yeah, she's
you know
dope.
That, you know, if you associate conflict with relationship, that is a hidden message for you.
Probably. I need to sit down and review some of my relationships I'm a part of. You know.
Oh, my God.
Address the conflicts.
Okay. Yeah, she was a conflict management. And, yes, she was very dope. And that's why we kept calling her back. It was like, we need you on the town.
Yeah, we need her on the town. She dope. And I want us to get back to doing that as well when we have some time because we – those townhouses were very impactful.
Yeah.
You know, it's people still talking about it today. I met a person, he's in one of my health groups, reached out to me and was like, yo, that show right there, what happened? Why y'all not doing enough of them? I was like, oh, we all got a little bit busy.
Yeah.
You know, I said, like that, we don't want to do it. Me and this young lady has, you know, we got projects we're working on.
Yeah. I think we do need to do it like maybe once a month.
Maybe once a quarter.
I do think that there once a month would be
once a month
good.
Would be fine.
Yeah,
okay.
But I
yeah.
also think that there are conversations that we need to have and where it's just, you know, where we can be very a safe space where we can be very transparent and talk about things that we see amongst our people, because I feel like we can't candy coat anymore, and sometimes we have to like really watch what we say on social media because you don't want somebody who don't really understand what you're trying to say to be taken the wrong way.
Well, you know,
or used against our race when what we're really trying to do is
I think because of our current POTUS that I think he's allowed the platform to really speak your mind. You have to speak your mind. We can't hide behind traditional thinking. I mean, we have traditional strategy, but traditional thinking, going about things and minting our words, this ain't the time to do it.
Well, anytime you say something to the Black community about the Black community, that you risk the chance of the Black community saying you shouldn't have said that out loud. You know, you shouldn't have said that where other people could see it. Like, you don't talk about...
Well, I mean, it's just time for the Black community to look in the mirror.
Well, like, it's like putting your family business out, right? Like,
the whole world know about our family business. Like, let's quit pretending that some of our culture is toxic. Let's stop pretending that
we are still mentally enslaved. We've tried it.
We've tried it, and we're still in the same position. See, the thing with the Black community,
I think we tried
the Black community way. You know, if you speak too nice, they still don't move. If you enable them, they still don't move. If you talk crazy to them, they still don't move. Like, what is it that the Black community wants? How do they want to be communicated to? Because I was thinking, we was talking about 45, right? And one of the things about 45, hate him, love him, whatever the case may be, he understands the importance of empowering his base to move. For some odd reason, regardless of whatever leaders we have within our community, we're not empowering our base to move. We're still sheeple. We're still waiting on a messiah. We're still waiting for that one person to come up and tell us what to do. No other race is waiting on that except us.
I don't think that's true. I think that's a more individual type thing.
Okay.
I do, because you can't say that there are no other people in a different race who aren't waiting, who don't sit around and wait for somebody to tell them that they can, you know, build business or build wealth. There are people who are, you know, still doing that because they don't believe, they have money issues, they have limited beliefs. Some of them have, you know, been rooted and indoctrinated with dogma and been told that money is the root of all evil, and that's been taught across all races.
But how did the Hispanic race leapfrog us in home ownership, leapfrog us in net worth? How?
Do not forget that there is an entire system out there.
You know, I understand the system, but clearly the system...
I'm not saying it's just the system. I'm not saying it's just the system, and this is why I say that these type of conversations need to be had, one, in a small group. If you're going to make a change, you can't, like, literally try to go at the entire problem. You have
one
to.
One bite at a time.
Yeah. So I still feel like these conversations need to be had in a small group. But there is an entire system that, and I was telling a friend of mine this morning, for some odd reason, it feels like this system's whole purpose and their only way of being able to continue to operate is if the Black community is where it is. If the Black community were to wake up, that system would be in danger of crumbling. So right now, if you look, and this is why I say 45 has served its purpose, because had 45 not been in office, then the majority of the Black community would still feel safe. The majority of the Black community would still feel like racism was no longer a thing or was still a small thing. Undercover races have been
exposed.
Mm-hmm. Unintentional racism has been exposed. You have people who didn't believe that racism was no longer a thing saying, man, I thought racism was gone. Man, I didn't know I was.
Well, those people are flat out delusional.
But wait, there were even Black people saying that.
And those Black folks were flat out delusional.
Right. But hold on. Listen to what it doesn't matter whether they were delusional or not. What matters is that they are now awakened on that issue. There are other issues that, not aside from racism, there are other issues that 45 has brought to light too, like the whole thing with the small business, with the economy. Like, if you don't realize now how important small businesses are to your economy, to your life,
then you will never realize it.
You will never realize that. And so instead of taking your money and spending it with Walmart and spending it with Amazon, you need to be more conscious minded about spending your money with the small businesses in your local community, because if they die out, take a good look at what your life is going to be like, because small businesses pay local business tax. And without local business tax, then your local government cannot operate
the way it needs to operate. Exactly. Absolutely.
And so there are, that's what I'm saying. So he has served his purpose in waking people up. But the thing is, don't fall back asleep because you feel safe. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I was in a group on Facebook, and we had a healthy conversation about the debate about him not denouncing. I tell folks, he don't have to denounce it. He understands his base. That just what it is. What it is. That's war. And if you understand war, you never give up your base. So I get it from that standpoint. Whether we agree with him or not is just, when you understand war, that's war, you know.
Let me ask you this: Can you know to prepare for war if you don't even know that you have an enemy in your camp?
Whose fault is that? It's like
No. Answer that question.
I am answering the question. It's 2020.
No.
How many things did we need to see before the George Floyds, before the Breonna Taylors, before...
You're going on something else.
Okay.
I'm not replying to that. I'm not debating you on what you said.
How are we not at war? How do we not know we're not at war?
If your enemy, like, this is what I'm saying. If your enemy is befriending you, if your enemy is saying that everything that you need them to say... And then doing something behind your back, will you know that you need to be ready to fight?
You a poor student of history if you don't understand the history of your oppressor. If you don't understand what Malcolm X said about white liberals. If this is things that you don't understand.
It's either yes or no. Will you know that you need to fight? If you don't know that you're...
No, you wouldn't. But whose fault is that?
I'm not placing fault on
anyone. Okay, so we're just saying... No, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know at all.
Exactly. So that goes back to your point of you saying that you don't... It's like, who cares that he didn't denounce it? At least you know who he is, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
You know who he is, so you know to fight. You said
let me ask you this. What age range are... Because I'm...
Agreeing with you, Corey.
Oh, no. I'm about to say.
Let me make that clear.
Yeah, because I'm like, hold on.
Listen, you know who your enemy is.
Exactly.
If you don't know who they are, if they're telling you that I'm your friend,
mm-hmm.
then you don't know to fight. Then you go back to sleep.
You get lulled back to sleep.
And
exactly.
You feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who your enemy is, you stay on guard.
Right. So that's what I was saying. So even that. So we was in a group and I just asked a simple question. I said, so at what point do you guys decide to exercise your Second Amendment right? Like, when are you going to exercise your Second Amendment right? And if you understand that we in a city where we know these boys are out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
When do you exercise your right? Because you never know. You could be going up to a gas station. Anything may pop off. You know, these boys, they driving in Antioch, Murphy's. I'm seeing them with the Confederate flags on the pickup trucks, you know, and they out here. They very loud. When are you going to start exercising your Second Amendment right? And do you know how many people in the group still denounce getting their own gun? Still denounced protecting themselves, still kept saying that if it's God's will, and I just politely left the group. Because if you're still saying that, you are definitely asleep. And most of these people have some of the most, you know, they're very opinionated, but they don't want to protect themselves.
Maybe they're just afraid of the gun being in their house. Like, I don't know. And I try my best not to judge people for what they believe and how they believe. And that's on them. And everybody vote your conscience. And that's what makes the difference. Vote your conscience. Don't try to force your thoughts or the way that you would fight on somebody else.